Thank you all for standing by. Welcome to today's conference call. At this time, your lines have been placed on listen only for today's conference. During the question and answer portion of our call, you will be limited to one question and one follow-up. Please be sure to record your name and affiliation so that you may be introduced to ask your question. Once again, that is one question and one follow-up question for our Q&A portion. Conference is being recorded today. If you have any objections, you may disconnect at this time. I will now turn conference over to Mr. Tom Skinner, Senior Public Affairs Officer for the CDC. Mr. Skinner, you may proceed.
Thanks, Jill, and thank you all for joining us today for this telebriefing on the release of CDC's Vital Signs Report on health insurance coverage and health care utilization. This is the fifth Vital Signs Report that CDC has released, and Dr. Frieden will be saying more about Vital Signs prior to giving some introductory remarks on today's report. We'll then open up the phone lines to answer your questions. Joining us for the Q&A are Dr. Chesley Richards, Director of CDC's Office of Prevention Through Healthcare, and Dr. Robin Cohen, a statistician with CDC's National Center for Health Statistics. So let me turn the call now over to the Director of the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, Dr. Thomas Frieden.
Hello, good afternoon, and thank you very much for joining us. Vital Signs began several months ago as a early Tuesday in the month release of key health information. Our first was in July of 2010 and covered colon and breast cancer screening. Our schedule for releases was established about a year ago when we first conceptualized the data release process. Today's data is based on information from the National Health Interview Survey, or NHIS. This has been conducted continuously for more than 50 years. It is a primary source of information on health. It's conducted by trained interviewers. It's an in-person household survey, interviewing nearly 90,000 individuals from around 35,000 households. One of the very positive things about NHIS is that it provides early release information, and it's been doing this for 10 years, since April of 2001. This gives estimates of the most current information on health of the United States population 6 months after collection of new data. It's provided quarterly with periodically more in-depth information. Today's report is on health insurance coverage and healthcare utilization. And the bottom line is that uninsurance of young and middle-class adults increased by 4 million people from 2008 to the first quarter of 2010. Half of those who are uninsured are non-poor, and there's a serious impact on access to needed health care. Specifically, among adults age 18 to 64, the proportion who had no insurance for at least part of the prior year increased from 46 million to about 50 million, 49.9 to be exact, 4 million more from 2008 to the first quarter of 2010. A second way to look at it is chronic uninsurance, people who have been without health insurance coverage for more than 12 months. And that number also increased substantially from 27.5 million in 2008 to 30.4 million in the first quarter of 2010. That's an increase of 3 million in chronically uninsured adults. Now, the population of particular concern is from 18 to 64 years of age. The population 65 and over has had high and stable coverage through Medicare, which has maintained near universal coverage for those 65 and older. For those under 65, private insurance coverage has been falling steadily for at least the past 10 years. The public insurance safety net has more than protected children, but while public coverage provided some safety net for adults, it wasn't enough to offset the loss of private coverage. Both adults and kids lost private coverage over the past decade. Specifically, private insurance of adults fell by 9%, and although public insurance increased by about 5%, as a net, this led to an increase of uninsurance from around 18% of the 18 to 64-year-olds to around 22% of the 18 to 64-year-olds. The trends are very different among children, where even though the proportional decrease in private insurance was even greater, there was a much larger increase in public insurance through Medicaid and CHIP, resulting in an overall decrease from 12% of kids being uninsured to 7% of kids being uninsured. So while adults and kids started not so far away 10 years ago, 18% of adults being uninsured and 12% of kids being uninsured, what's happened in this 18 to 64 age group is that now the uninsurance rate is three times higher in adults, 22% versus 7%. Fundamentally, as private insurance coverage fell, the safety net protected children but did not adequately protect adults. Now, the data also allow us to debunk two myths about healthcare coverage. The first myth is that it's only the poor who are uninsured. In fact, half of the uninsured are over the poverty level, and one in three adults under 65 in the middle income range, defined arbitrarily here as between $44,000 and $65,000 a year for a family of four, were uninsured at some point in the year. The second myth is that it's only healthy people who are uninsured, and that it's young, healthy people, and they make a choice not to have health insurance. In fact, about more than two out of five individuals who were uninsured at some point during the past year had one or more chronic diseases. And this is based on just a partial list of chronic diseases, so the actual number may be higher than that. Just to give you an example, that includes 15 million people who had one of three conditions: high blood pressure, diabetes, or asthma. And uninsured people with asthma were five times more likely not to get needed care, with diabetes and hypertension were six times more likely not to get needed care. Even a short gap in insurance tripled the risk of skipping care because of costs. And more than 40% of adults in this age group without health insurance in the past year skipped care because of cost. Now, what that means as a doctor, I can tell you that if you have asthma and you don't get care, you end up in the emergency department much more commonly, expensive and disabling exacerbations of asthma. If you have diabetes and you don't get needed care in the short term, you end up in the intensive care unit. In the long term, you end up with kidney failure on dialysis, with blindness from the eye complications of diabetes, and with amputations of feet or legs. With high blood pressure, if you forego care, you end up with a stroke, heart attack, with disability, or possibly in long-term care. I'd like to close with two additional points and then make some conclusions and have time for questions. The first is that health insurance is a necessary but not a sufficient condition for effective prevention. An earlier report from the MMWR showed that in a jurisdiction that had increased access to health care, it was also necessary to address primary care capacity. In addition, to improve the quality of care, we need to have information to support physicians with prevention and to structure care for prevention. And some of the new criteria that are in the Affordable Care Act, for example, eliminating copayments for preventive services, will allow that kind of better focus on prevention. A moment on limitations. You may find the numbers a little confusing because there are various ways to measure lack of health insurance. You can measure it at a point in time. Are you uninsured now when I'm speaking to you in an interview situation? You can ask, were you ever uninsured in the past year? And you can ask, were you uninsured continuously for the past year? Other surveys, such as those by the Census Bureau, have somewhat different estimates, but the trends are all similar. And when you look at our point-in-time estimates, they're very close to those of other surveys. We also, in this report, don't address patient outcomes, just whether people have insurance and whether they seek care. In summary, there was a 4 million increase in the number of people who didn't have insurance at some point in the year. 3 million more people were chronically uninsured, that is, for more than a year. This affects both poor and middle-income Americans, specifically in the 18 to 64-year-old age group. People who are uninsured are much less likely to have a regular doctor and much more likely to skip or delay care due to costs. And this affects those with chronic conditions, where more than 40% who do have a chronic condition and don't have insurance don't seek the care they need. Middle-aged adults who don't get preventive care enter Medicare sicker and subsequently require more doctor visits, more hospitalizations, and have higher costs. Uninsurance of young and middle-class adults has increased by 4 million between 2008 and the first quarter of 2010. Half of the uninsured are non-poor, and this decreases access to needed health care. Thank you very much.
Okay. Jill, I think we're ready for question and answer, please.
Thank you, sir. At this time, if you would like to ask a question, please be sure to press star 1 on your touch-tone phone, and please record your name and affiliation to ask your question. Once again, that is star 1 at this time. Please stand by for questions. Our first question comes from Mike Stobe with the Associated Press. Sir, your line is open.
Hi. Thank you for taking the question. Two questions. First, was there any trend data on the percent of people who said that they were foregoing care? I just see just kind of a snapshot. And I had a second question when that's over.
Maybe Robin Cohen from the National Center for Health Statistics, do you want to address that briefly?
Yes. The early release report, one of the measures in the early release report is looking at foregone care. So that you can look at the reports that are on the NCHS website, and you would find the information there.
It shows it, what it was in the past?
It would be, yeah, it would be the did not get needed medical care because of cost. But it would not be, it's not broken down by insurance type. It's just overall.
Okay, I'll go back and look. The other question was, as Dr. Frieden was pointing out, there's different ways to look at the data. And one way that we've looked at it is the number and percent of people who say at the time of the interview that they're uninsured. That doesn't seem to be increasing much, at least by percentage of Americans. I was wondering, since we've been through a recession, maybe Dr. Frieden answered this by addressing the kids, but were you surprised that we haven't seen a larger jump in the uninsured than we've seen?
I'm not quite sure what information you're looking at. All of our measures of uninsurance have increased and increased fairly substantially. The uninsured 18 to 64 at time of interview has gone from 18% 10 years ago up to 22% now, 21.5% now. The other question is, how much of that is because people, if people lose their jobs, they often lose their health insurance as well, and there are multiple factors contributing to that increase.
Jill, next question.
Once again, if you would like to ask a question, please press star 1 and record your name and affiliation at this time. Mr. Skinner, we have no further questions at this time.
Okay. If there are no further questions, if you do have questions that come up later in the day, you can certainly call the CDC press office at 404-639-3286, and we'll try to provide you with a subject matter expert to answer your questions. So we'll conclude, Jill, if there are no further questions. Is that correct?
We have no further questions, Mr. Skinner.
Okay. All right. Thank you for your time.
That does conclude today's conference call. We thank you all for participating. You may now disconnect and have a great rest of your day.